Have your Bibles, find Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. We were there last week, and we'll continue in Luke's Gospel. Find that text. I want you to picture it. A dinner party. A guest of distinction. The host and a prostitute. Tears, a gentle caress, the kiss, the perfume, and feet. A bizarre story. Provocative, even erotic. And Luke records it in Scripture. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed the feet, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. She is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher." Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed 500 denarii and another 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave debts of both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You had judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? She came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." And Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is he who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go into peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Simon, a Pharisee, invites Jesus to his home for dinner. Why would a Pharisee invite Jesus? Did this Pharisee, this religious leader, Jew of Jews, did he admire Jesus? Was he wanting to, like many Pharisees did, simply catch Jesus, get him in a debate, and catch him saying something contrary to the law? One commentator suggested Simon was simply a collector of celebrities. Remember Jesus. His popularity was growing. Luke told us that the centurion's servant was healed with Jesus not even showing up, just saying the word to the centurion, "Your faith has made him well." And last week we looked earlier in Luke 7 where that young man was dead and Jesus said, "Arise." And he did. Simon, a collector of celebrities, "Let's have Jesus to my home. Oh, this will be good." Jesus came. Earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus, talking about John the Baptist, said, "John the Baptist, he didn't eat, he didn't drink, and you didn't like him. And now I've come, you called me a drunkard and a friend of sinners." And Jesus goes to the house for dinner. Tradition of this time that you would actually like some of you do, you kind of lay down to eat. And Jesus would lie on the left side. The guests would lie on their left side and eat from their right side, a pallet-like cot. Many suggested it was like a star. Some would this way and this way and this way and this way with their head in, leaning and eating together. Now, outside the courts, we had to think beyond our normal homes. Outside the courts, in the patio, in the yard, folks would gather. Jesus, this wonderful man who had such a following, his followers were there. Other guests were inside the house, surely. But outside, on the perimeter, in the outer court, there had been others. The street would have been crowded, getting as close as they could to hear the conversation. Often the poorest of poor would be the ones to show up, because after the meal was over, whatever food was left would be thrown into the outer court. Those who were hungry, those who were poor, they didn't miss an event like this. The crowds are there. Jesus and Simon the Pharisee are sharing together. And she moves in. Verse 37, this woman who lived a sinful life. Simon, as he thinks to himself, says, what kind of woman is this? He should know that she is a sinner. You can read between the lines. You know what kind of woman she was. Notice what she did. She approaches behind Jesus. Seemingly unbeknownst to Jesus and to Simon, she left that outer court and falls at Jesus' feet. And the Bible says, and she began to weep. The word used in the Greek is a powerful word. She begins to sob. If you would, to bewail. She breaks out in total tears. As Katie showed the children, her tears fell upon Jesus, dust, dirt, covered feet. The more she cried, the more the tears. You can see the feet being stained with her tears. Yes, washing his feet with her tears. A woman would never take her hair down except in her own bedroom. This woman, in her reputation, wore her hair down often. And as she cries and tears and wets Jesus' feet, she takes her hair and dries his feet. Perhaps it was just one motion, tearing, wiping, sobbing, kissing the feet of Jesus. And then she takes that vial of perfume, an alabaster jar. Many women in this day wore, most all women, even the poorest of women, would wear a little vial of perfume, and she breaks it, pours it on his feet, and the aroma fills the room. What was she thinking? Why would she do this? Jesus at this guest dinner, and she cries unto his feet. She did this, but they were tears of gratitude. Amazing grace, we sang. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. Blind, now I see. Tears of gratitude overcame her. Was it the teaching as she sat outside the courtyard? Was it those moments of teaching that Jesus and Simon shared that so convicted her that she could not refrain from going and being changed at that moment? Or was it simply being that close to Jesus? The very presence of Jesus himself reminded her of her great need to fall at his feet. I personally believe it was neither. I think she had already met Jesus. I think sometime that day or weeks before, she had already encountered Jesus, God in flesh. We know that Jesus met women where they were. Jesus met everyone, sinners and all, right where they were. Jesus went to Samaria in the midday, and the woman drawing well, he said, "Would you give me a drink and let me tell you about living water?" Jesus elevated women from their position in his day when they threw the woman caught in the act of adultery at his feet. Jesus knelt and got eye to eye to her and said, "Let those without sin cast the first stone," and they all left. And he said, "No one condemns you, neither do I. Go and sin no more." I think she had already met Jesus. And being that near to Jesus and in the presence of Jesus, tears of gratitude fell forth. Can you relate to her? Most right now are looking straight at your Bible. You're not wanting to look up or down. Can you relate to her? You say, "I'll be glad when the pastor moves on past this text." She was a sinner. All of us can relate to her. Perhaps some more than others. She was unloved. Don't you know her reputation? Whether it was true or not, her reputation was rampant. Many women in this day were prostitutes. The only way they could live and survive and have any food to eat was to sell themselves. But each night when she went home, late in the night, early in the morning, you know that past haunted her. She felt unworthy. How many men and women today live their whole life feeling so unworthy? Rumors abound. They can barely lift their head. They've been abused physically, mentally, socially. Like this woman. Someone said, "There is no love without true forgiveness, and there's no forgiveness without true love." She experienced the love of God through Christ. She experienced unconditional love, loving her where she was, not where she should be, loving her unconditionally. She was taught through that she too could forgive herself, even as she was forgiven. The result of Christ's love and the result of the forgiveness that was hers brought forth tears of gratitude. In recent weeks, we've talked, as we looked at tears in the cross, we've talked about tears of repentance as Christ died for us, that we should have those tears of repentance in our soul. And last week, tears of sorrow that Christ cries with us in our sorrow and changes our tears of sorrow. But perhaps no tears are more meaningful than tears of gratitude, tears of grace. But I think that maybe this story was preserved by Luke, not as much for us to read of this woman and her story as it was to relate to Simon and his story. Simon, a Pharisee, religious one. He thinks out loud in verse 39. He thinks out loud, "Who is this man? He claims to be a prophet. He's not a real prophet. There's no way he would be a prophet and let this woman, this sinful woman, touch him." Jesus told the parable. One owed 500 denarii. One denarii was about a day's labor. 500 denarii, another owed 50. Both were forgiven. Both could not pay their debt, but the money lender forgave them both. And Jesus asked Simon, "So which would love him more?" Simon said, "I guess the one forgiven more." And Jesus said, "You're right." And then Jesus does something very unique. Luke said, and then Jesus turned toward the woman, looking at her, but speaking to Simon. He turns toward the woman and he speaks to Simon and he says, do you see this woman? As he looks at the woman, he didn't see her. Simon saw a prostitute. Simon saw an unworthy woman that had burst in on this party. He didn't see her. Jesus saw her heart. You see this woman? Jesus, looking at the woman and speaking to Simon, said, I came to your house, Simon. You didn't wash my feet. She washed my feet with tears. You didn't greet me, welcome me with a kiss of welcome, and she kissed my feet. You didn't anoint my head with simple olive oil. She anointed my head with expensive perfume. Jesus looks at the woman, and the crowd, don't you know it was quiet in that home? How pitiful is the heart of a Pharisee. Oh, they have found favor with God. They obey all the rules and all the laws, and they create more laws and more rules so they can say, look, I've even done more than I should do. Look at me. Their Bibles were bigger than most, and they thumped them so boldly. But Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites, self-righteous, filled with false pride, hypocrites. Jesus said they're like whitewashed tombs. On the outside, they're white. They look good. They look clean. But inside, they are filthy, dirty, dark, and despair. A tomb, a whitewashed tomb, it may look good on the outside, but inside it's dead. It's dead. I ask you, can you relate to the woman? I wonder, can we relate to Simon? On a Sunday morning in Deep East Texas, I think most of us are named Simon. We're church people. We're religious. We're morally more right than those who aren't here. We offer our prayers. We bring our tithe. We know about forgiveness. We don't need a lot of it compared to them. We are Simon. We've allowed ourselves to become judgmental just like the Pharisees. We've allowed ourselves to become so condemning, so condescending, so clean, so self-righteous. It sickened Jesus. I thought this week, this sermon title, Tears of Gratitude, because that's what they were for her. If I was leading this sermon or sharing a Bible study with a group of men, I would probably say some things a bit stronger and different. But giving the family mixed attitude, I think tears of gratitude. But if not, I think I would title this sermon, I'd rather be a forgiven whore than a holier-than-thou Pharisee. But I wouldn't say that here. Look at Simon. Look at the woman. But most of all, look at Jesus. Jesus, whose feet have been washed and anointed. Jesus, surrounded by that courtyard of people waiting for the food. Jesus, in the presence of Simon. First of all, Jesus didn't have ticklish feet. That's all week long I've thought of that. My wife's never anointed my feet with tears. I've suggested it. She's never wiped my feet with her hair. It's not long enough because she cuts it all the time. She's never put perfume on my feet, though she has put hydrogen peroxide on my toes at times.
but I don't want her near my feet because feet are nasty. I've told you that many, many times. Feet are nasty and feet are ticklish, but Jesus just took it in. But really what's most important when I look at Jesus, he was no ordinary prophet. He was no ordinary teacher. Simon was right. Who is this man? He was God in flesh. He was the Almighty God of creation, the God of all who came and dwelt among us. He was the one who forgives sin and offered eternal salvation. I don't want you to miss verse 50. Jesus, looking to the woman, has said, "Your sins are forgiven." The people say, "Who is he to forgive sin?" And Jesus said again, "Your faith has saved you. Go into the peace." Your faith has saved you. Salvation is not based even on our love. We may love God. We may love Jesus. We may love to sing the great hymns. We may love the cross and wear a cross and put a cross at our home. Salvation, however, is based not on our love. It's based on faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, Paul said, "It is by grace, God's grace, that you experience salvation through faith." Through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Something we do, because then we would boast. Next Sunday, Palm Sunday, children will go up and down the aisles and they will wave palm branches and hit each other with the palms. And we will sing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." And we will begin that procession of Palm Sunday to Maundy Thursday as we reflect on the cross, as we cover the cross in black, to Good Friday, to Silent Saturday. And in just 2 weeks from now, we will be finishing Easter Sunday resurrection worship. But let us not miss the tears. These tears. We're all sinners. Whether we relate to that woman or we relate to that man, we're all sinners. Sinners in need of forgiveness that Christ gives because of the cross. All of us sinners in need of salvation by God's grace he offers through our faith. Tears of gratitude. What does God desire, the Bible says, but a broken and contrite heart? Tears of gratitude. May we let them fall. Would you bow your head? One of the great songs, hymns of our faith, talks about our love for Jesus. This woman loved Jesus. The hymn writer said, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, if ever I love thee, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." Oh, Jesus, we love you. We love you for forgiving us. We love you for loving us. We love you for accepting us and changing us. We love you for our salvation. We love you for our forgiveness. We love you not only for the things you do. We love you simply because of who you are. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. If ever I love thee. Father, may the words of our mouth, may our lives, like this woman, May our tears of gratitude consume you, the one we love. In Jesus' name we pray.